people that will send you an email or a message and be like, are you guys going to do jokes about camembert? And,
did you write to them? What did you say?
Yeah, I mean, we would just encourage them to come, you know. Every time I had that, it's not like I had many. I think I had two or three over the years. I will just encourage them to come, you know. I keep the email, put them in the newsletter. And it's like, okay, unsubscribe if you don't like it.
What if they say that I didn't authorize you on the GDPR?
Yeah, that's true. That's possible.
Hello, welcome to Comedy with an Accent podcast. I'm your Taiwanese comedian, Quan Wen. I interview comedians who perform English stand-up comedy but who are not native English speakers or they can have a very distinct British regional accent. This podcast is all about comedy, about accent, about languages, and about the comedy technique. So stay tuned if you're interested.
Okay.
You have to be a little bit closer to.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, kind of like the distance. So you will be in the frame and also.
Okay.
I like it. Okay. Salut, bonjour à tous. Bienvenue sur ce podcast de comédie avec un accent. Je suis ravi de recevoir mon invité aujourd'hui. In case people are fleeing because they're hearing this foreign or strange language, this is Comedy with an Accent podcast. We haven't changed. I spoke French to start with because my guest today is the mastermind behind the popular French language comedy show in London, French It Up. And I'm going to welcome my guest today, that is Jeff Vidal. Hello.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Hello, how are you doing?
See, when I contacted you, I was tempting the idea, say, why don't we do a podcast in French? And the more I prepare for it, I'm more like, thank God he didn't agree, because I don't think I have the fluency to
I did agree. I said no.
Now you say, yeah, we can try a little section towards the end.
Yeah,
but yeah. Jeff, I was just thinking Jeff is not really a French name. And you just revealed to me that your name is actually Jean-François.
Jean-François, that's correct. I mean, you know that to non-French people, it doesn't seem right that my name is Jeff. But again, my name is
Jeff. Do they ever question you or?
Yeah, they do. They do, yeah. But they can't say it properly like you just did. They do Jean. Like when the bank calls me, it's like, can I talk to Jean-François? And I'm like,
oh, you mean like English speakers?
Yeah, English speakers, sorry. Yeah. They will say Jean-François, and it's not Jean-François. So,
Jean-François, but at least they do the soir.
Yeah, at least they do the soir.
François would be Francis in English, right? It's Francesco in...
Yeah, that would be Giovanni Francesco in Italian, right?
Yeah, because like Pope Francis, I just heard the French podcast, he called that the Pope François. And I didn't know until...
I say Francis, you're right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Today, I invited Jeff over to talk about the comedy show in the French language in London. This is the second, because usually I invite someone who perform predominantly in the English language when they don't speak English as their mother tongue.
Okay.
But recently, I had someone came to talk about running a Spanish language comedy show in London. And I find it very fascinating to understand where the audience comes from, where does he find the pool of performers, etc. So I'm going to basically do the same thing with you today. At first, I have to clarify, because when I did that Spanish show episode last time, I said, I think there's one in London for French people, but it's not comparable in sizes. I didn't mean your show, because what I was thinking was Ariel Suma. You sure know her, right?
Yeah, of course. She
Ariel Suma. I'm sorry, Ariel, but she's kind of half-heartedly run a show called MDR London or something. And she probably run it once every 3-4 months. And that's
MDR.
Yeah. What does that stand for?
Mort de rire. It's like we say, you know, it's like
laughing out loud.
Yeah, laughing out loud. LMAO. That's our MDR.
Oh, I thought
it's like young people say a lot now.
Because it's Ariel, I thought he has closer to the mother.
That could be. It's true. I know Ariel too, so I see what you mean.
Okay. So. Basically, French It Up comedy, you started in 2016.
Yeah.
You come from a background of improviser, l'impro.
Yes,
initially,
exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
And so it was started as a space for performer, and you were rather open-minded about different genre of comedy.
Because
you know, people can be quite narrow-minded and staying in their own lane. Like a lot of time, improv and stand-up don't really mix.
They don't really mix.
I'm going to describe what this French comedy club feels like. I went once. They serve charcuterie and cheese board. At an English comedy club, you'd be lucky if you have crisps. And it's not even the posh brand. It's always like you have peanuts and they are serving cheese. But it's a very interesting experience, because I think I knew that through going to watch Sebastian Mosk's show.
Right.
In his show, he was interacting with the people, the French-speaking people, majority of them French, in a room, and they were making fun of French people who didn't leave France. So in a way, I think it's important to highlight this is a French language comedy show in London, but the target audience have a different sense of humor compared to other Londoners, but also compared to people left behind in their motherland.
Exactly.
Yeah. These are expats.
This is a really different mind. You just described it. It's like there are not a French inside the country, and also I wouldn't say they're completely accustomed to British style, but they're really like those expat mid style, you know. It's
They may not be here because of a love for Britain. They may just here for a good contract, for a high salary job, and they bitch about the quality of food and weather here all the time. So they are half reluctantly stuck in this country, and they'd rather go watch something in their native language than in English. Is it fair to say, like, the people who come to the show, they were just looking for something in French? They're not necessarily comedy fans, are they?
Yeah, that's true. It's just trying to capitalize on the fact that they want to see something in French. Also, the experience, you just described the book.
They just want one night when they don't have to speak English.
It's
a relief. Like, I would say that. Like, sometimes if I can just have an hour or two not having to talk to someone other than in my mother tongue, that's really, really relaxing.
Yeah, but okay, I get that what you're saying, but don't you think as well, it's more about, rather than being annoyed and be like, I don't want to speak English. Rather than being like this, it's more like, I need my culture. I need like to get it through. And French, it's very... Like
it's a recharge.
That language is very like, it's closed a little bit. You have to be honest. Oh, that's why a lot of like French people struggle to speak English. I see artists that they come to London, they can't speak one word of English. They come, oh, I'm so happy to be in London. Make some noise, London. And I'm like, that's all I can say. I'm like, guys, come on. Like, not even like a little sentence. I feel this energy in the humor of French where it's like, I think people are like, they're willing to speak English, they're willing to get the culture, but it's really hard sometimes to just turn it on, and it's just easier. But you describe it, rather to be annoyed is more like, I'm just going to turn off my brain. Okay, I'm just going to...
No, you're saying that it's a very, not say enclosed, but it's a very separate system.
Yeah.
You need to go back to retrain the muscle and recharge the energy from speaking the language.
Yeah, from speaking the language, like what I can feel from French humor, like the French humor I know and the French humor of maybe those expats, it's like a bit of nostalgia in a way as well. I want the thing that connects to me, to my point of view. You described it. There's a lot of people like they work in London, the office jobs. So like that office comedy in French is a killer. When people come in, and they're on stage speaking French, they go like, guys, I saw my KPI last week, and people are like, oh! I'm like, what is KPI?
So does that mean that the majority of your punters will be on PAY? To put it nicely, office like desk workers.
100%.
White-collar jobs,
White-collar jobs. Yeah, there's like a lot of finance. There's a lot of marketing. And then again, it's just, obviously there's differences, but people in tech a lot more.
I'm going to say something. I don't know if it's 100% true, but I think it's true. There's a very high percentage of French people hired in the banking finance industry in the UK, because in France, the difficulty of mathematics is a lot higher. So people in the UK are encouraged to study drama and politics, and France may do philosophy in high school, but their math are like hardcore, like halfway between the very low Anglo-Saxon standard and Asian standard. So French people, when they are trained well, they are very good mathematicians, and that skill is quite desired. And my friend complained about this because she hates working with French people. It's a bit unpredictable, but she said their math are so good, the company ends up hiring so many of them. In the city of London.
Like, yeah, okay. I wouldn't know about that inside, but I feel like you're right. I think the French school system in that way is really focused on math. I think so.
Also, math considers that indispensable skill. So ironically, even though known for philosophy and good food, lots of French people are in London because of math and finance.
But I think that's what I can feel from my audience again.
I quite like what you mentioned. You say that the number one killer is jokes about office culture. So what doesn't go well then at French It Out Comedy Show?
What doesn't go well? It's a good question. Some shows.
No. I mean, what sort of topics won't go well?
What sort of topic won't go well?
Bashing the host country, is that a popular choice?
I don't like that much.
Explain. Please.
I've been in London for 15 years and I MC most shows, not all of them, but most shows I MC them. I like to say that at the beginning of the show. I'm not in for the cliche of French people. First of all, because I don't want to alienate Francophone. Mm. It's really important for me. There's like Algerian in the room, there's Belgium, there's Switzerland, Luxembourg, there's everything, there's a lot of Quebec. So when you talk about French people or just to French people and we are French.
Okay, so let me slow down here. Yeah. So where French is widely spoken, so it is a French speaking show.
Right.
And it's easy to think that they're just people from France, but it's not 100% true because there'll be people from Belgium,
right,
from Switzerland, probably from Quebec, Canada.
Quebec, Canada.
From Morocco, Algeria, yeah. Tunisia, for example.
Lebanon. Yeah.
And sometimes you will have performer, they just automatically say, "Don't we, les Français, the French." And then some audience would be like, "I speak French, but I'm not one of you."
I don't get that. Yeah, especially, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's true. I feel that. So I'm not in for the culture comedy.
Mm.
And I think some people do it. But rather than trying the culture comedy is, we are similar. We are all expats and we all speak that language. That's the connection. And then from that, we do a show.
So how many of your audience are actually not from France? Do you have an idea?
Yeah. I think it's about 20-30%.
Really? That high?
I think so, yeah. Ah. Again, I'm saying that. Please, don't worry. I know you're very keen on numbers. I just realized you're like 2016. I like that you know all the things. You had 90 people on the first show, Jeff. So I feel like your numbers is your
I was
thing.
An accountant.
Ah, okay, I see.
I work with the numbers.
I see.
No, I think the number is important in that it is a significant minority, which means, okay, without them, the show can function but not be as good.
Yeah.
But with them, then, you simply can't address everyone as one group. And that's the significance, that even though they don't represent 50%, mentally you have to treat them as absolute equal. You have to respect that this is not a home gig just about French people. It's about French speaking people.
Yeah.
And people from France are very likely to forget about this distinction.
I think I found the answer to your first question is what doesn't work? I tried it. I really wanted to keep going. It's not keeping going now. It's bilingual shows. We had like a monthly, something like that, maybe less, off and off. One set in English, one set in French, one set in English, one set in French. It's not working great.
Why is that? Do you think that it's a bit demanding for us people to switch between two
I think so.
Part of their brain constantly?
I think so. Also, it's tough for the comedians I invite, but I wouldn't think it's entire problem because there's obviously comedians that you invite because you invite comedians that don't speak French. I do that because I want to invite people that don't speak French in a show where people speak both. I mean, the audience. But then I feel like because culture is so different, the rhythm of the show and the style is just changing so drastically during the show that you have people, rather than switching, they switch their culture understanding of comedy. They just laughed at somebody being very French style, I guess. And then we'll have something more Londoner. It's not that it doesn't work, but it's like, to me, it takes a bit of a little wave in the rhythm, I guess.
Mm, you just said it's harder to gel. So have you tried doing one section in French and one section in English?
You mean like after show? I tried that.
Yeah.
You know what happened? It's like, well.
People leave.
Yes. Yes, they left.
Mais non, quelle horreur.
I was like, no way. No, but you know what? It's not like I did a second half in English. It's just more like I did two shows, really back to back. And the first show wasn't that long. And it was really open mic. And the second show was pro. And it was so good. But like, people came for the open mic and it was a bit, but they were...
Open mic was in
French. French. And it was like 90 people in the room. And the open mic, some of that, it was like a bit of bombing. But that's the open mics. I said it and they knew it. But then I was like, guys, there's a pro English night. You pay the ticket, you can stay. But yeah, half of them left. I mean, it's too bad, but they don't want to stay because they don't want to make the effort to switch. The culture, not the... They all speak English.
You don't think it's because they are not confident in their English comprehension?
I don't think that's what it is. I think they think that they don't get it. I consume comedy in English. That doesn't mean my brain is wired as an English person, British person, but I make the effort because that's where I live. I make the effort when I don't have the reference to try to go in my brain or I go on Google after a show sometimes when I don't get something. Ah, he's talking about you, the thing you drink. Oh, you can buy in Sainsbury. Okay, he talked about you. Okay, I get it.
Mm.
This is the effort.
But it should be a two-way street, really, isn't it? Like, because it also the performer should try to reach the audience to use references they will understand. Right.
Right. Well, when you have your 10 minutes that is already written and you are like a Londoner comedian established, because that's why I invite on English shows. Because because we're in London, so it's great, you know?
Yeah.
Such as yourself, somebody that has like a real set. I won't ask that person to change his sets, you know? It's okay to have this.
No, you won't ask, but I think personally as the performer, if your show revolves around, let us say most of these expats live in London, a big city. So it's a very international city, which means that some very peculiar aspect of the British culture may be lost on them. So if you're set around a very, very, let's say, English or Scottish thing,
right,
even though these people live here, they may not know. For example, they may know Sunday roast, but if we go even further, I'm talking about the peculiarity of a Cornish pasty.
Okay.
Even though they live in London, it is not taken for granted they would have tasted or realized what's so special about a Cornish pasty.
Right, okay.
So you either explain or you find something that's easier for them to react to.
Okay. I mean, it's true. You might be right. I might be naive about that because I see it from my own perspective, which is trying to understand other culture and being like, you know.
I think what could really be available at your show is that when I interviewed Tati McLeod, which you also had before, she said at her tour show, her own show, she realized a lot of people who came are not necessarily bilingual English, French people, but just people who move around all the time. So they basically live in a country that they were not born in.
Yeah.
So they understand the idea that you're living in a foreign culture and they are just interested in that switching and that migration history. So even though Tati was talking about moving back and forth between English and French culture, the patterns of migration itself was relatable to a lot of people that are migrating in all the different directions.
Yeah.
So what your show could really be, if all the performers pay more attention to it, is to have this rich source of people interested in cultural and cross-cultural differences.
Yeah.
It's just that the language you use is French language.
That's French.
But it doesn't have to be everything is about metropolitan France.
Exactly. I think you describe it very well. I think that's what it tends to want to be. Yeah. I had to complain. Some people complained to me. I mean, not complain after the show, but before the show. People that they were not coming, not haters. I'm not as big to have haters, but you know, like people that will send you an email or a message and be like, are you guys going to do jokes about camembert? And,
but these people, are they like English people or French people?
You know, I'm not sure. It's DMs and stuff like that, but I think they're mostly French.
They need a life. If they don't like it, they don't have to come. But they don't come and they make the effort, right? They need a life. They probably don't feel like anymore. These people need a life.
Yeah, you're right. You said it in the first place. There's people that don't consume stand-up that come to my show.
Yeah.
And it's also, why do you come to the show? And that's why the branding is for that as well. It's like when you have something called French Up Comedy Club, sometimes I have people coming in, I hear them saying stuff, oh, wow, that's cool. I can't believe I didn't come here. It's the first time I come in here. And you ask them and you're like, how long have you been in London? 10 years. It's like,
oh my God, this is what I feel when I discover Chaparral's Pink Pony Club.
What?
Sorry, the reference too far. So basically, this singer Chaparral that blew up with Good Luck, Babe.
Okay, but I don't know it, but
the other album was released in 2020.
Okay.
And on the YouTube comment, lots of people was like, I cannot believe I've missed this masterpiece for the past 4 years. That's exactly what I mean. Sorry, this is completely not relatable for Monsieur Vidal,
yes,
man.
Yeah, I'm still trying
pink
to connect
Pony
with
Pony Club. I want to keep on dancing on the pink pony. That's the song.
Okay, I will get it. Yeah, send it to me, please. I will listen to it after that. I'm ready for it.
But how do you say pony in French, by the way?
Pony.
Pony.
Un pony.
Il n'y a pas un mot pour bébé cheval, non?
Bébé cheval. It should be bébé cheval. We should change it to bébé cheval. I won't call all the French people, guys. We don't say pony. Say bébé cheval.
Bébé cheval.
Why don't we say baby horse, though, in English?
Good question.
That's your question.
Yeah, not my language, not my problem. So you are saying some people will write to you, oh, are you going to make a joke about camembert? And what did you write to them? What did you say?
I mean, we would just encourage them to come, you know. Every time I had that, it's not like I had many. I think I had two or three over the years. I will just encourage them to come, you know. I keep the email, put them in the newsletter. And it's like, okay, unsubscribe if you don't like it.
What if they say that I didn't authorize you under GDPR?
Yeah, that's true. That's possible.
I love it, though. People write you a hateful email. You include them in a newsletter list to send out information.
I will include them even on the WhatsApp group, and then I will text them that I'm the king of spam. No. Yeah, don't do that.
you may be asked this question quite a lot of time, but why did you set up this French comedy show?
Basically, I had a friend where we did the improv company together. We talked about stand-up. We were interested about stand-up. Like, oh, let's do a stand-up show. Back then, we didn't know, like it's 2016, I didn't know much about stand-up, just watching a lot of American stand-up myself. I just didn't know how to set up a show. And first, it was one show every 4 or 5 months, I guess. And it was like 10 to 15 minutes long sets to people that never did stand-up before.
Oh.
Coming with their page and trembling in front of the mic. And me emceeing, make some noise in French. And there are maybe like 20 to 40 people in the audience. That was 2016. And then from that, it started to pick up. We started to have a community around that.
But were you not tempted to? So, because surely you would have your regular, whatever show, whatever space, whatever thing that improvers meet up and perform.
Yeah.
Were you guys not tempted to just put on a stand-up show using the same name under the same umbrella? Or was it because other improvers were not interested, so you have to venture out and start your own venture?
Yeah, it's because you want to segment things, right? The group is called FBI, French-British Improvisation, and it's exclusively improv. And it's it was just good to create something next to it. It's like You would like to extend your activity and change, do a podcast and you, or do a show. That would be two different things. And I think that's what. No,
but did you bring it up with your fellow improver, or you just?
Oh, yeah.
You did.
They were there. A few of them, they were from the team.
Let me put it this way. Yeah. This FBI group,
right.
These French improvers,
right.
Do you do regular ticketed show to audience?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do like monthly.
So my question is, were you not tempted to just make one of those shows improv with additional stand up? Rather than starting a complete new night on your own? That was my question.
I see. No, I wasn't tempted to do that. We would rather prefer segmented the thing and just do something completely different.
Mais pourquoi pas?
It's because it was, weirdly enough, it's a bit corporate in there.
Do you say corporate?
Corporate. So basically, we were a few comedians and actors. I'm doing voice acting, already teach improv for a long time then. But in the group, there's people that don't have that for a job. And it's, we call it an it's caritative association. How do you call it? Charity. It's a charity.
Okay.
So there's a board of deciders. It's about 20 of us.
By corporate, you mean that it's probably a bit bureaucratic?
It's bureaucratic. Okay. Sorry, that's exactly what I meant.
Okay.
Merci.
Il y a l'administration.
C'est ça.
Il y a des gens qui font des décisions.
Exactement. And so if you start to go like, hey guys, we're going to do a show.
So like innovation, experimental ideas, they look at you and say, mais tu rigoles?
It's more like you're rather doing things that make me, I'm very like that. I'd rather trying to, yeah, to.
So now they say it was like malicious, but there was an institutional inertia.
Yeah.
And it's just faster and more efficient. You just start something
you
on your own.
Me. You got
okay.
me. That was exactly
no, because I had a French ex, so I know. You French people.
Also, it's funny, but it's not just that. It's because the people who are not actors or comedians or intermittent du spectacle, as we say, they were
intermittent
like,
spectacle.
C'est
joli ce mot-là. Teach me a little bit. I don't never heard of it.
It's actually a status. They get paid for it. It's like in France, you get paid for your hours as an actor, actress, intermittent du spectacle. And then when you do that, you get more money, but there's like the government covers you. If you don't work this
you month. Have to explain more because this concept is absolutely alien to the English speaking world. Okay, so when you are in performance art,
right.
Because actors quite often are between jobs.
Right.
So after you finish this contract, your next job may be months away.
Exactly.
And in the beautiful, bureaucratic, yet respectful for artists world of France, the government will...
Yeah, so but you summers, I just did. That's what it is. The government just I never did it, so I don't want to say it the wrong way. I know it from outside, from knowing friends that do it. Just the government pays you a basic state of hours. I apologize if that's not the truth, but I think that's what it is. And then from that, you just work more, or you know, you check your hours, and that's how you get your money in, right?
Because they're reducing the financial risk. Rather
exactly.
than here, people who have rich parents are more likely to pursue art because they know when they are out of job, there's money coming in.
Right.
Yeah.
When you don't have a job, you're not getting paid, right? There's no holidays for us, right?
Yeah. Does this cover comedians right now?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, intermittent du spectacle.
Oh, my God.
But they are like
mind-blowing for the comedian listeners. Like, what?
Yeah.
We need to understand France a little bit more.
But then you need to get your status. So I think some of them, when you start getting to it, I think it takes 2 years, 1 year or 2 years.
Okay.
Again,
back to the
I think,
other side of reality
right.
of France. So how did the show start to become more popular? Because you attract people from this expat community, and according to an estimate, there are about 300,000 to 400,000 French-speaking people.
Some people say it's the fifth city of France.
Six.
Six? Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's I like that you have your facts right.
No, but the fact came from 2014. That's before
Brexit. I think it became fifth.
That's before Brexit. So I would think logically after Brexit, it should be a dip.
I don't know. I heard about the fifth one. And then again, I'm not sure that's true. But like I heard about six, fifth, whatever. So it's the side of Grenoble, I think. Something like that.
No, it's bigger than Bordeaux. That's what I heard.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, it's changing all the time. sorry, your question was on this.
How did it start to grow?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Did you notice a turning point?
Yeah, definitely. So after COVID, before 2016, I was in collaboration with Emily Perraudeau. We created that together. She went back, not to France, but to Belgium, to Brussels. Then COVID happens. And then when I came back from COVID, I just wanted to start something new because I was on my own. And get more people in. And then I got a contact from, I think you met him, Fab, Quebecois. Yeah. I got his contact. He was arriving in London during lockdown. And from then, I want to do it at least three times a month. New fresh start. You know, everybody comes out of the lockdown. Let's do it. Let's put everything in there as well, in energy, I mean, and will. At the time, it was just something on the side. We had friendship up. There was no sign. There was no real concept as well. Some people will do 20 minutes. I didn't even know. I was like, oh, you want to do 20 minutes? Mm. You never did stand-up before? Cool. No, that's not what it was from 2020. It was like, okay, I'm getting interested. What is stand-up? How does it work? How do you book artists? And from then, I invite people. You know, people come to London. I invite them to the stage. I do it less now because it's got a cost. Sometimes I will really like a stand-up comedian that is not that famous, not too big, but big enough for me and cool. I will pay the Eurostar, the hotel, obviously the show. We do a little show where I'm thinking like the audience, where are we going to like this person? So I did that about 20 times since I exist, I guess. I know now I have like a little list where I've gone. I know people, they come to London, I can put them on shows, right?
Yeah. And then you put ads, for example.
And then I start ads as well, right?
Okay. Yeah. Even though I can do really evil editing, made it sound like you got rid of Emily and then boom, the show went better.
Not exactly. She left. But with Emily, we started the thing. But yeah. Then when Emily left, because I was left on my own, it was in a way easier to have like a concentrate on ideas, I guess.
French had this very interesting status of being most likely the foreign language and the only foreign language a lot of British people learn.
Yeah.
But they don't necessarily learn into a full fluency.
That's true.
But you are more likely to get people who are not French, in theory, to be able to speak a certain degree of French. But whether they are able to perform in French, that's the other question. So is there quite a few crossover with the English stand-up scene here? Or sort of the French art kind of stays in its ecosystem interacting with the performers in France? What do you feel about that?
So yeah, there's a will to try to connect more, but as it is now, and as it was back in 2020, when he started to become like what it is now, it's true that it's an ecosystem, really based around our community. We have a WhatsApp group with 150 people. I've got a few WhatsApp groups with I give classes of improv every week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday evenings. So they all are in the La Boucle. They all know about the shows. Most of them come a bit to the shows.
So these 150 people are not the pure spectator. They're not.
They're like the spectators, some of them, but they're like part of the group FBI, a theater in French. So we have our own ecosystem, as you said it.
A performers community, French-speaking performers community.
So performers, there's not a lot of them which are, this is their job. That will include the people you just spoke about. Frances, I found out that she was speaking French, so I invited her. Olivier, but I think it's not his job. But he performs sometimes at Comedy Freaks. Ariel, a few times, I invited her over. But the rest, as in really being connected to professionals, because there's not many of them as well.
But you see, even people who perform on the English thing, not many people are fully professional. It's almost impossible to sustain yourself.
You're right.
So I'm saying that who perform in any capacity, in a way, or they can just be comedy aficionado. So exactly.
So the people from open mics, that's what I call it. It's the people from our improv comedy shows, mostly. There's a mix of people with experience. So it's a mix of that. That's the concept of French Chilo Comedy Club Classic. And then there's like the pro night. I invite people from France, like the special guest. And just for marketing as well, is more trying to get people that have followers as well.
Do you feel you've reached the critical number
No, I don't think so. I don't think I have a number which really ranges enough, but I think the people I'm reaching out to. I just performed on Friday. We had a special guest called Jeremy Charbonnel.
Oh, yes, I follow him on Instagram.
Yeah, so Jeremy came. We had 200 place we didn't use at that time. We used 100 place, but we did two shows. One show 100 sold out, and then a second show 60 around at 9 o'clock on Friday. He essentially helped me out, fill up the room, right? People that came, they don't know Friendship Up. So I'm trying to get people as well to know the venue and to know Friendship Up Comedy Club, and hopefully they came for Jeremy, but they live here. So hopefully they will come back as well to see our show.
On the specificity of the branding, because when I talked to Ariel, she said that when she did her French language show, there are people who came to the show and surprised that the show was conducted en français, because they generally believe that it's a show mocking French people eating camembert and everything will be done in English. It's just going to do French bashing.
You mean it's my haters? That's them. She got them.
But you ever had that sort of people turn up at French.com? Because your show title is French It Up. It's cute and it's very English language logic. You know, French Up, that's a phrasal verb. You don't have such a thing in French.
Do you know where it comes from?
Where'd you come from?
Friends. There's an episode of Friends where Joey starts to speak French, right? It's actually a line of Joey.
Oh.
It's an exact line. Sometimes I put it as a gif for people to remind. So Joey is on stage. He's trying to learn French. He's not doing French, right? I don't even remember.
From Phoebe?
From Phoebe. And then he's on an audition. And he takes up the gif, like, blah, 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 blah. And there's the comedian in front of him. The actor goes like, guys, what's going on? And he looks at him and goes like, dude. French it up. So that's just where.
No, but that French it up. That up thing. This sort of way of playing with language, French it up, is a very quintessentially English. You don't have something up or down in French, right?
Right.
So without reading it in detail, people might think it's an English language show making fun of French people or talking about France. How do you make sure they get the brief?
And you know what? Well, it's a great question. I don't believe I never had that issue.
No, I mean,
maybe some, you know.
Because your ad comes with videos and the description are all written in French.
Yeah. I think I had a few times. Once somebody, you can hear as I speak very quickly and very...
And you mumble a little bit
I mumble a little bit, yeah. So I speak like that very quickly, in French even more. And there's one girl from the audience, once she arrived, she had the question. And I'm like, started to speak. She goes like, oh God, he speaks so fast. So yes, I don't think she was French. I think she was a French teacher and, you know...
Yes. Actually, like when I listened to the interview you did with Fab... Bouche à l'oreille, even though... Fab's Québécois accent. I'm really not used to the Québécois accent.
And you know what? He doesn't have a strong one, though.
Oh, my God.
Québécois is Fab is the last Québécois accent you can find.
He opened for Sebastian Marx, and he had a whole bit talking about dogs. And he just kept saying, chien, chien. And I just thought, chien.
Oh, you were there on that show. Yeah, okay.
But on that podcast interview, I understood everything he said, but you speak way faster than I'm used to. I had to go back and put it to 0.75 just to listen to your version. So this links to my following question.
Okay.
If someone is not exactly sure about, they may have like a fluent level when they did the GCSE, they're kind of interested in coming to the show.
Yeah.
They're not confident how fluent their French actually is.
Okay.
What would you say to them?
We joke a little bit. I'm not going to lie. We pick at them a little bit.
You will be made fun of.
In a gentle way. Yeah, I'm asking the question. Who doesn't speak that much French? Just come on right up. Okay, what's your name? And then we chat, we crowd work. And I think we make it benevolent. I tend to believe. You know, I don't overthink it. We need to make people laugh and have a good time.
Mm.
It's really the focus. I speak French and I love that language. I work most of my week in French as well. It's simple in my head to have that show. But at the end of the day, I love comedy rather than I love the language. And that's just the way I portray that comedy. That's it.
Yeah, I think as another non-native English or French speaker, people who are interested and you're trying to find an occasion where you can sort of brush it up and revise your French, I would say just go to the show. Just go once.
Yeah.
It's not going to kill you. If you can afford to live in London, you can afford to go to one show.
Yeah.
And you absolutely hate it, then don't go. But I would say go in without the expectation that you're going to understand 100% every single word. Because the truth is, the first time you go, even if you only understand 15%, that experience makes sure the next time you go, you understand 25%. And it will build up. And even though there will be references that's lost, it's a very... very friendly atmosphere in that the performer, after their set, you can just go talk to them and say, I didn't understand that what you just said. Can you teach me? It's actually a very natural, and you can't find a better environment to learn a language because you're fully immersed when the language is used in the most natural, but then succinct and then masterly crafted way. I don't know how to say it. I think it's much, much better than take your French Luxembourg and say, Monsieur, pardon, s'il vous plaît, où est la bibliothèque? It's just a lot more useful.
You like that? You speak a very good French, by the way.
You're very kind. No, you do. Unlike people who still live.
You do. Like you. I think I was really surprised because the way you said it, I was like, okay, Quan is gonna come in and just mumbles from few things in French and then speak English, right? But then you started your set, and I was like, you did your first joke, which you did to me, by the way. I don't know if you remember. You did your joke to me at the back. You know the joke about Macron.
Oh, yes. I said, should I do it, right?
He was like, my French doesn't work. I mean, like Macron as institution. And then you did it right on stage. I was like, oh, that's fun.
Performing in French was very weird.
Yeah.
Because French is a very fluid language.
Mm.
We were talking about the French up. I was talking about English fun, its Germanic roots. You have all this rich phrasal verb.
Right.
And one word, when you can use a pretentious Latin version, you always have a short version, punchier version. And I think French is not so much as a punchy language like English can be. That's a very, I feel like speaking French is like me watch people doing the Tai Chi in a park. This is a very weird,
like that?
The wavy fluidity, especially when you do words in French, you have to make the liaison between the consonant and the vowels, right? So you speak with a different rhythm, and that's a bit of sass. It's a complete different way, a different tool to use. I wasn't fully familiar with that too, but I feel the two can be exploited in a complete different direction that the English language cannot deliver. Because English is very interesting and it can be pom-pom.
It's all about rhythm, right?
But France is all about the sort of sneaky, gentle push and how it flows together one after another. So I think even the way you do set up punchline could be quite different because of the language characteristics. Different. Yeah.
And I think that's what's interesting about, it's refreshing to me about English. I like to perform a bit in English or like MC in English in that way. That has that rhythm as well, and like get into the show.
Yeah.
It's be easier for me in English to get into a show. I think it's a show language. Welcome to the show. Tonight we've got this. I feel like in French there's like a...
But I would argue, I think French is a better cabaret language.
A better corporate?
Yeah, a cabaret.
Cabaret.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think French is very funny when you try to deliver something in low register moaning and complain, endless complain, which is something quid essentially French.
Je vois pas ce que tu veux dire.
But I feel like a psychotic completely losing your shit, shrieking, can be a bit more powerful if you deliver that in English. I think you can be very angry in French for sure, but talking about complete schizophrenic, that delivered in English for me is funnier. Okay. But for this, all this gentle, it's like it's endless, like frowning. That for me, maybe I'm just more used to it.
Yeah,
but that's what the French language has its forte at.
Is the point of view as well of the exterior? You have. I feel like a lot of people describing French language, we always sound like very sexy at the terrasse, you know, like blah, 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 blah. Obviously, as a French speaker, I'm inside a language. I don't feel that. I don't feel that flow completely as you described it. It's, to me, comedically, it's completely different. That's what it is. And the rhythm of the language doesn't come much from the word specifically. That's what English does. English is like each word. It's like, it sounds like you said, like a little to me. And then French is more a whole, I guess.
Do you think that French it up comedy show, a comedy show in the French language in a way... maybe not help cure, but alleviate the pain of homesickness. Is that a bit too sentimental?
You gotta repeat that. What do you mean by that? Like,
people might be homesick.
Okay.
And they cannot just make up their mind to move back. But being able to come to this show every now and then makes it better.
Yeah. To my experience, my point of view, that's a great question. And I don't think so. I think my experience is... I love my country, but it was not a first love. I left Marseille at 21, 22. It was the middle of 2011, 2012. That's why I'm not sure on the dates. And it was refreshing. It was finding myself, becoming an adult. So I am a Londoner. And I feel like I am a Londoner. Mm. And this is not to say that I'm creating friends in London. I am using the language I know, I grew up with, I connected with friends with, I connected with improviser with audiences with. And I use that to do a show that works, hopefully, yes, for me, but I guess for other people to connect. So yeah, I don't see it as trying to bring home. I'm seeing it as home is all of that.
Because you live a third of your life here.
Yeah.
You can't just be seen as an add-on to...
Right, yeah.
But
yeah.
What makes it different? Because some people, they say, I was one of those internet forums, say like a lot of French people will come here in their 20s and they were experienced being sort of adventurous, but eventually they want a better quality of life. So they move back to France for better food, bigger space for their housing,
that's
raising
true.
Children. It is a pattern. It's not everyone, but there's a good portion.
I've got friends that did that just last year. So
and
yeah.
What set you apart from that choice? And you see the crowd in the French art comedy show. Some of them probably will go back to France at some point.
Right.
How many of the audience in your show you think are here for stay? What do you think?
You know, I don't have the good answer to that. I feel like you described it. I feel there's a lot of people leaving and then there's people coming. Just, you know, it's the same. It's a cycle. I feel a bit different from that because I don't have my own family like my friend just left with because they have kids and because of that money experience. So I feel like this is always going to be there. I feel change, maybe I'm naive again, but I feel change is not one way, which is... We know the pattern of change and that's how it goes, which is it's going to be more expensive and that's going to change that way. No, I think change is always surprising. We just don't know the way London is going to attract more. I tend to stay here for the reason I love the city. I sometimes hate it, like everybody. I sometimes find it difficult, but I found in the way my little bit of an island, the fact that I think Friendship Up is growing as well and I really want to be here to see that.
Okay.
As well.
So in summary, people come, people go, but Friendship Up is here to stay.
Wow. That's a good
And then
resume.
I want to digest your sort of French blurbing. It's all chaos. It's all chaos. Why bother overthinking?
Well,
enjoy the moment.
That's a good point of you. Yeah.
Is that a right summary of what you say?
I think it is.
More or less.
Yeah. Okay. I should hire you as a summarizer. For my everyday life.
Okay, we are going to leave it here. I'm going to say a big thank you again to my guest, mon invité today.
Merci. Claire.
Jean-François Vidal. Hopefully that's the very last time people know about your real phone name. Next week. Well, have a good day. And please, if you like the episode, give us both the French Art Comedy Club and my Instagram account, subscribe and follow. And have a good day. See you next time. Bye.
Merci beaucoup.